let me tell you. The two kings, and then I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Tomorrow is Christmas, a time for gathering with family and opening gifts. And I want to spend some time this morning talking about gifts. It kind of ties in to everybody and everything that has been sung about this morning, because Jesus is the source of the greatest gift that we have. But our society has a tendency to focus on the wrong things, especially when it comes to Christmas time. So that is what we're going to look at this morning. A little feedback there. We're going to be looking at gifts and about the greatest gift. Now, my sister-in-law, Abby's cousins, their kids, one of the things they used to do around Christmas time was this thing called Elf on a Shelf. Have you heard of it? For those of you who don't know about Elf on the Shelf, let me give you a quick premise. It is this elf that you put on your shelf that is supposed to watch your children, and then the elf reports back to Santa Claus. If your children have been good, they will get something for Christmas, and if they have been bad, they will also get something for Christmas, but not a gift. It'll be a lump of coal in their stockings. So based on that behavior, the elf makes his report, and that is supposed to teach the children to behave at around Christmas time. It also teaches them that Big Brother is watching and that reward is tied to behavior. And I saw a post recently on the internet that a mother had done saying that she was so sick of the elf on the shelf craze. And she related a story that she had taken a little of her daughter's macaroni and cheese at dinner, and the daughter, instead of saying something to the mother, merely looked over at the shelf to the elf and said, "You saw that, right?" Our society is obsessed with getting gifts or on getting something for nothing. A gift is something that is given willingly for no payment, no remuneration. The secular world has been focused on getting something for nothing for a long time. And during Christmas time, these things just seem to ramp up. You only have to watch television or listen to the radio, and you see and hear that. One of my favorite Christmas movies is A Christmas Story, which is based off a book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, by Gene Shepherd, which was published back in the mid-60s. And in the movie, it's a comedy, and I think I like it because a lot of the jokes that happen in the movie are developed over the course of the movie and then have a big payoff at the end. But for the entirety of the film, the main character, Ralphie, spends all of his time obsessed with getting a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. And he goes through some pretty extraordinary lengths in his attempt to get one. In the final scene of the movie, Ralphie describes the BB gun this way, as the greatest Christmas gift that he had ever received or that he would ever receive. And while that is just a line in a movie, sadly, that is the mentality of many of us who are not saved, who do not know that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. They put the emphasis on their lives on the material things, the things that they can see, the things that they can touch, the things that they can feel in their lives. But those things do not last. Rather than focusing on the spiritual that will last throughout all eternity. In the song this morning and in the movie, getting a gift is tied to behavior. What we do or how we act determines on the gift or the reward. But that does not apply to the greatest gift ever given. The greatest gift truly ever given is not based on anything that we do. The last few weeks we've been talking about Jesus, who is the source of the greatest gift ever given. He is the source of our salvation if we believe. There was nothing that we could do to earn our salvation. It is a free gift from God. All we have to do is believe, and God gives us the faith to save us through His grace, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So we're going to look at salvation, the greatest gift ever given, in relation to eternity today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Christmas season. I thank you for this morning when we can gather together and look at your word. I pray that this will be a blessing to those who hear it, that we will leave this place different from when we came in. It is all for Jesus, all that he did for us on the cross. I just pray that you would illuminate our hearts, help us to have your word implanted there, that we will gain a new appreciation for this blessed season. All this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our verse this morning is from 1 John 5, 11 through 13. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. If you are able, please stand while we read God's word. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Our salvation saves us from what we deserve. What we deserve is hell, but Jesus took the punishment that we were to receive and instead gave us his righteousness. Our sins have been paid for. We have received eternal life through him. There are three things we need to think about or look at this morning when we're talking about eternal life. And the first one is that eternal life cannot be earned. There is nothing that we will ever be able to do to deserve that blessed gift. Nothing that we ever will be able to do or could ever do to merit that reward. The second thing is that eternal life is received as a gift through Jesus Christ. That is the only way towards salvation, is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why we celebrate Christmas, because that is when he came to earth as a man, lived a sinless life to go to the cross for the purpose of saving us. And the third thing, what, based on Scripture, do we know about eternity? That is what we're going to look at this morning. The Bible speaks about the idea of trying to earn one's way into heaven, to get there on our own merit, and it describes that endeavor as fruitless. That is not the way to do it. If we flip over to John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, Jesus here is talking to the Jews who at the time were seeking to kill him. John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40. And Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." Now, what Jesus was saying there probably did not endear him to those that were trying to kill him. But they truly had the wrong idea about eternal life, about salvation. And even though it is difficult to correct error, that is what we must do when we find it. And that is what Jesus did here. They believed that the key to salvation lie in Scripture. It does, but not in the ways that the Jews thought about it. They thought they could earn their way into heaven. If I just follow the law and follow the rules and do everything that it says, I can earn my way into heaven. It is not based on that at all. It is not based on the law. It is based on faith. As fallen human beings, however, we have an almost innate need to be a part of it, whether it is out of pride or out of a sense of guilt. Pride in the sense that all of us surely must have a part in it, right? Guilt in terms of the difficulty of accepting a gift that is given freely. Nothing is free. There must be something that I have to do, that I can do, to contribute to this. When it comes to salvation, however, it is a free gift that we did nothing to earn. We cannot save ourselves no matter how hard we try. We are justified by faith apart from the law, apart from what we do. In Romans 3:28, Paul writes, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Galatians 3:11, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just live by faith." The only way to reach salvation, eternal life in heaven with God, is when God saves us through faith in Jesus Christ. Flip over to John 11, verses 25 and 27. Jesus here is speaking to Martha. John 11, 25 through 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Jesus is the only way. The only way. There is none other. That is why we celebrate Christmas. He is the source of the greatest gift ever given. It cannot and it does not come from anyone else or anywhere else. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Eternal life with God is a gift, and it is a gift that we receive by faith. John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." We are given the faith to believe by God through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Though it is not based on merit or service, it does require from us a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Flip over a few more pages to John 12, verses 25 through 26. John 12, 25 through 26. Again, this is Jesus speaking. "He who loves his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." That was John 11, 25 through 27. I'm sorry. That was John 12, 25 through 26. Before we were saved, we were at enmity with God, literally at war with Him. When we are saved, we go from being against Him to being for Him, from fighting against Him to serving Him. And if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, that is a great example of that. Paul, who had been persecuting Jesus by persecuting the followers in the church, had God divinely intervene in his life. Paul certainly had done nothing to deserve eternal life. He is saved by God, he repents, and becomes a powerful missionary to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul is in heaven right now. Amen. He has the gift of eternal life. Paul ran the race and finished it well, but that is not what saved him. What saved him was God, and God saved him through Jesus Christ. Flip over to Romans 6 really quick. 6, 8 through 11. This is Paul writing. That he is dead to sin and alive in Christ. Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If we believe, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are dead to sin and alive to our Lord and Savior. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. Amen and hallelujah. We are on our way. Every day is a day closer to an eternity with Him. What does the Bible say about heaven? What does the Bible say about where we will spend eternity? In John 14, Jesus speaks about many dwelling places. John 14, 1 through 6 says this. Let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. The word translated as mansions here would probably be better translated as dwelling places. But what we know about them is that they will be perfect for us because Jesus Christ is preparing a place for them. Jesus, who does everything perfectly, is preparing a place for us if we believe. We went caroling this last Wednesday, a group of us from the church. And it is something that we have not done for a while due to COVID. And most who participated, not all, but some came back to the church afterwards. We had sang about Jesus, we had spread some Christmas cheer, and then we just sat around as a group and fellowshipped. And it was such a contrast to the normal things of this Christmas season. Nobody was in a hurry to finish. Nobody was in a rush. Nobody was frazzled. We sat around as a group of saints and we fellowshipped. And for me, it was a real blessing. And I thought, wow, that was great as we left. But heaven is going to be so much better. An inheritance uncorruptible. All of this around us, this Christmas season that we can see with our eyes, the lights, the spectacles, the trees, all of that will one day pass away. Our heavenly reward will not. Philippians 3, 20 through 21 talks about the heavenly bodies that we will one day inhabit. Speaking of eternity, Philippians 3, 20 through 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Seems, as we go along, it gets a little harder to go along. We have a lot of people in our congregation who are suffering physically right now, both spoken and unspoken suffering. It is hard for those who are going through that physical suffering. And it is hard for us who love those people who are going through physical suffering. In heaven, there will be no suffering of any kind, physical or otherwise. It makes me want to cry just thinking about that, because we have known over the years so many people who have suffered so much, who have endured much suffering in their lives. Paul says that if we believe, we will go from suffering to glory. Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Rebecca, Abby, and I live out in the middle of nowhere, really, the boonies. My buddy Brian, when we were renovating the house, came to visit, and he's a tech guy, and he had his GPS up, and he came to the final crossroad before our house, and on the GPS, there was literally nothing beyond it. And he joked that we lived at the end of the known universe. I like living in the country. I grew up in the city, and there was always noise and pollution, light pollution. Sometimes I'll go out in the middle of the night, and around our house, it is so dark out there that you literally can't see your hand in front of your face. You can't see the end of the driveway. You really can't see anything that might be creeping up on you out there. And when I'm out there in the dark, I think about heaven sometimes. In heaven, there will be an ample source of light. And that light will come from Jesus. In heaven, we will not grow tired, we will not need sleep, and there will be no darkness, only the light of God. Revelations 22:5 says, "There shall be no night there. No need for a lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." At the end of the year, the news media oftentimes does tributes to people, famous people, who have passed away that year. And it always gets me thinking about people I know who have gone home to the Lord. Think of Noreen Andrews, who was called home just last year, right after Christmas. just recently Bessie Ray, and it is hard. It really is hard for us because we who are left missing them terribly. But they have gone to a place where one day we will go also. And I know this is cliche to say, but it is truly a better place. No suffering, no worries, no wearies, no darkness forever. Revelation 21, 1 through 4, last verse. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. If we are saved, that is what we have to look forward to. If we are not, we can have it. The Lord does not want anyone to perish. If you have questions about where you're going, come and speak to us. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on the greatest gift ever given. For those of us who know Jesus as our personal Savior, we truly have the greatest gift ever given, the greatest blessing ever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of you. We who were without hope, lost in our trespasses and sin, are amazed at what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth as a man, lived a sinless life and went to the cross for us, died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, triumphant over both sin and death. It is Jesus who we celebrate this day and every day. Because of him, we will not pass away with everything else, but instead we'll have everlasting life with you. Thank you, Father God. I pray for any here who may not know you, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We think of the Ray family and the Andrews family and other families, Father, that you would give them a sense of comfort and peace in this season, because those who have been called home are with you. And one day, one glorious day, we will be as well. We love you and praise you in Jesus' precious name, Father. Amen.